Ryan Reynolds here for, I guess, my 100th Mint commercial. No, don't. No. I mean, honestly, when I started this, I thought I only have to do like 4 of these. I mean, it's unlimited premium wireless for $15 a month. How are there still people paying 2 or 3 times that much? I'm sorry, I shouldn't be victim blaming here. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/save. Whenever you're ready.
$45 upfront payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes. See details.
Welcome to the original Freemasons podcast, broadcasting from Waterbury, Connecticut, USA. Follow us on your favorite podcast app or join us live on YouTube. And as always, leave your aprons at the door, my brothers.
A hungry heart keeps me going strong. It gives me strength when things are going all wrong. All my life I've been searching for the sun. Now like a thief in the night, I got nowhere to run, but I'll never.
Here we are.
We're back.
And we return.
I'm tired.
I'm a little tired, too.
I'm freaking wiped out today. I don't sleep too well. Tired. Anyway, hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
I was going to fuck around and say Worshipful Brother Ken.
You could.
But I ran out.
You want to be me, man. It's... Complicated life.
I do want to be you for where you were last week.
Yeah, that was a fun trip.
Yeah, why don't you have a little discussion about that?
So I went on a little Masonic vacation, not the type of Masonic vacation that you take, you know, from Freemasonry after you leave the East or something like that, but an actual vacation with Freemasons. So Worshipful Brother Danny, who's been on the podcast several times, and Big Kev. Brother Big Kev, our junior warden, who's been on the podcast several times, and myself decided to take...
Just on not too long ago.
Yeah, we decided to take a not-so-impromptu voyage down south to the Fort Lauderdale area in Florida, and just had ourselves a great time for 6 or 7 days. It was pretty nice.
You said it was more of a bender than a vacation.
It was more of a bender than a vacation, yeah. I mean, it wasn't, you know, we didn't go too hard, but... Yeah, we had a pool and a hot tub in the place that we rented, so we did a lot of sitting around in the sun, baking, drinking Happy Dad hard seltzers, so shout out to Happy Dad Corporation or whatever the hell they're called. Those seltzers, they're the bomb. They're really good. They're tasty. They have electrolytes, which is like, you know, like what else could you want in a hard seltzer? 100 calories?
I don't want a hard seltzer.
I know, but you know what? It was like not... It's not really the climate where you want to be drinking bourbon or, right, like, heavy beers or IPAs or anything. So I was like, well, what do you guys recommend? And Frank's, you know, Frank Pisani, shout out to him. Brother Frank is Worshipful Brother Joe's brother. Worshipful Brother Joe Pisani, who came up here and was doing some of his songs for us. His brother lives down there in that area, so part of the trip was going to visit him. And nice. He's like, yep, Happy Dad Seltzers, that's what you want. So that was our... Our drink of choice while we hung out, and I'm not white Ken. I'm not the whitest Ken anymore. I've got like a decent tan here, so hopefully the light shows that.
How much of a dick am I?
How much of a dick are you?
Yeah, would you consider me how much of a dick?
I would say you're like 30% dick.
30%? 30, that's it?
Yeah.
I would have went way higher.
No, I think you've mellowed out over time.
The only reason is because you had made the mention that you were... tanned, or you got tan, tan, so you're not as white as you were.
Yes.
But before the podcast, I flipped the lights so that the lights are over you. So if you
that's what I was going to say. I'm like, hopefully the lights show that.
They don't.
Some sun. Nope, not at all. Look at that. I'm totally washed out. I assure you I am tan under all this.
I flipped the lights so that...
you're a bastard. I like specifically turned it on so that you'd be like reflective white translucent like you were in the last episode.
I was. That's why I flipped the lights. So now how much of a dick am I?
Yeah, I put you at a solid 45 now.
Yeah. Anyway.
So that was, it was a fun adventure. We tried to visit some Masonic lodges down there too, which was more difficult than it seemed. I did go on the Grand Lodge website for the jurisdiction of Florida, and there are, you know, like five or six different lodges in the area that kind of met during the week that we happened to be there. I emailed some secretaries. One of them got back to me and was like, hey, you know, the last stated communication of the month, what we like to do is go to like a local Irish pub that they spend a lot of time at. They do kind of like a tavern lodge kind of thing at least once a month. Cool. So they're well liked there. They take care of them. So, you know, we tried to go down there that night. And we were, you know, we were on Florida time, so we were like 45 minutes late, right? They like started at 6 o'clock. We got there at 6:45. We go in there, and I'm like, you know, I don't even know how to ask for these guys. So I just walk up to the hostess, and I'm like, you see a bunch of guys that are wearing shirts like this? I had like my lodge polo on, and I show her the square and compasses, and she's like, oh, the Masons. She's like, yeah, I think they just left a little while ago. I'm like, 45 minutes? So I don't know. We probably should have gotten there on time. That was our bad. So I'd like to apologize to those brothers down there. That was J. Dewey Hawkins Lodge in the Fort Lauderdale area. So apologies to you, brothers. I wish we had some regalia or, you know, some swag or something to leave for you. They did have like a cool built-in like bookcase thing when you walk into this Irish pub. And she's like, oh, yeah, it's these guys, right? And I looked at it, and there's a bunch of gavels and square and compass badges all over. So they gave them that.
Sold.
Yeah, that bookcase to decorate however they wanted. And, you know, it's really neat. So I wish we had something on us, like challenge coins or something, to leave there for them. But we, you know, we traveled pretty light. Next time, though, I'm sure we're going back down to that area. I'd love to rent the same place again. And I'd love to visit that lodge and leave some stuff for them.
Jeb Worshipful Brother Past Master says, you come to Florida and you don't let me know.
Jed? Oh, I mean, I announced it on Patreon. I didn't want to, like, you know, spread it to the entire, you know, the entire world that I was traveling and stuff. But I did drop a message really quick on, is he not a, I thought he was a member of Patreon.
I don't think so.
Okay, well. So. You know what? So that we don't run into this snafu next time, Worshipful Brother Jed, all you have to do is join Patreon for as low as $3 a month. Are we still doing that? $3 a month? $5 a month? Well, you know, that's still a small price to pay for access to our Discord server, where you have direct access to the hosts of the podcast, some of the brothers that have been guests in the past, and exclusive access to things like hanging out when we're traveling.
We need to have another Discord day when we record. I was thinking about that. Just go to free chat and let just Discord just run shop.
Just talk. Yeah, we have to make sure that we get the sensor button ready to go and the delay set up and so forth, because, yeah, it can get a little heated. Not heated. It can get a little rambunctious.
A little bit.
But, yeah, apologies for
that. You can
do that. Brother,
you can actually
Jed.
Set it up where we...
Yeah, where we set up a delay and then, yeah, have the ability to,
really?
To cut. Yeah,
I didn't know we could
in
do
real
that.
Time. Yep. Yep. It's what they do on, you know, like live TV. Same kind of deal.
I did not know you could do that. Yep. I thought it was just once live. It's out there in the ether.
Nope. Totally can intercept the... So basically you're on a delay and what you're streaming is whatever.
No kidding.
You know, 30, 40 seconds behind you, and then you can kind of edit in real time if you need to.
Yeah. So we had, we're going to do an episode. We're just waiting for Joe to come back, but we lost the Right Worshipful Brother, Chip Schoolfield, a couple weeks ago. It's kind of a hard blow for all of us. But we're going to do a little ode to him in the next episode or so. We just want to wait for Joe to come here, but. It's kind of what I've been up to. All of us have been up to. I didn't make the week because I didn't realize it until the last minute, and I already had something going on. But I did make the funeral, and yeah, we'll talk about it later.
Yeah.
I don't really get into it now, but
yeah,
we lost a good brother, so sucks.
Rest in peace, brother.
Sucks.
Yes, it does.
But, you know, he, I don't want to talk about it now. I'm going to get upset. So.
Yeah.
So then anyway, this episode is episode, what the hell does that say? I know it says 260 something.
I think we're 261.
261. This one's listener's question. So if you got any questions out there in the YouTube land for about masonry or anything that you want to bring to the table or talk about, we're here to listen, but we got no topic. We really kind of just came up here. We're like, oh, let's record, and didn't have anything going.
And in the meantime, we do have some Instagram likes. No Apple reviews, apparently, but we do have Instagram likes, and we've got a ton of them because I haven't done them in a while. So I will start with Masonic Regalia. So thank you, brothers, for following us. Billy Parkinson, Jacob Hill, Anthony, Illuminati Brother something, Brotherhood or something like that. I think it's probably somebody just messing with us, though. Art Palomera, Danny and Wyatt, Corey Russell. It's Corey Kalazu, Daniela Boyle, Trent Kulik.
Daniela?
Daniela.
Like a female?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yes. NDRST, whatever that is. Lemuel Austria. Response Loggia Delphia number one. So that's probably a lodge.
Yep. Sounds
good. In some country. I don't know. Don't know which one. Mr. Eli Tyler Hayden Schreiner. Jose Romero, Omar Mendoza, Tamor Ali, Asim, Rina, Chan 66, Charlie Jackson, and AI Manufacture.
Nice.
Sublime fashion one. So thank you, brothers and friends, for following us.
Jed asks, what shrine unit are you in? I am not a Shriner. So one thing I didn't do was shrine.
Really?
Nope.
You want to hear something funny?
Shoot.
I just joined Shrine.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was actually one brother of ours was very, very adamant at recruiting.
Cool.
Worshipful Brother Steve.
Oh.
Yeah, and finally I was like, you know what? I probably have enough time in my life for Shrine, not Scottish Rite. You know, a few brothers, including Right Worshipful Jack Barrel, keep trying to push me into joining Shrine and Worshipful Brother Shriner Danny. Too. Yeah. Or I'm sorry, joining Scottish Rite. And I'm like, no, I just don't have time. I'd want to get involved and I just can't. But Shrine, you know, it's a little bit lower key, sort of the playground of Freemasonry. They do a lot of social stuff. They do a lot of great charitable work. And you got all those clubs and units that you can belong to in Shrine as well. Like the motor patrol, you know, you can drive little cars and parades. They have a couple of different parade, related units, the clowns and so forth that everybody's kind of familiar with.
Yeah, we've had Champ the Clown on before. We've had Bill Russo also on. He's so he's talked about that too.
Yep.
I don't know. I never really got in.
Joined Pyramid Shrine.
Yeah, I never really got into the Shrine.
I'm not a member of any units or clubs yet because I literally just joined. So I am considering they have a sportsman's club, which is like firearms related. They go to, you know, competitive shoots and stuff like that and visit different gun clubs. So probably going to join that one. But
nice.
I haven't really researched the other ones yet.
John C. Hey, brothers. I'm John. My eyes are fucked.
John Cormany.
Thank you.
Longtime listener.
Sorry, brother. I didn't screw up your last name. I just, my vision is like blurry for some reason. I don't know. But
Maybe it's a tumor.
You feeling
it's not
all right?
A tumor.
No, it's probably that Celsius you're drinking. He says he's a longtime listener from Springdale 412, South Carolina. Also, can't tell because the heart icon is in the way, but it looks like somebody else will have to say something before I can read it. But it looks like Jam something Shriner.
Nice. Yeah, I never got into the Shrine. I went York Rite, I went Scottish Rite. I never went crossed over to the Shrine. No reason why. Just not that I don't like the Shrine. I just
you get some more free time in your life. Something to look into.
You're funny.
I'm not gonna try to hard play it.
You're funny.
Worshipful Brother time. Jed says pipes and drums rule. We do have a pipe and drum unit. I believe still at Pyramid Shrine.
Isn't that what what's his name? Colette is part of Ray Colette.
Ray Colette, yeah, I think he does. I mean, I think he does everything, but Yeah, I believe he's in Pipes and Drums. He's a pretty awesome guy. Ray Collette's an interesting guy. Shout out to Ray.
Jameel Shriner.
Ah, Jameel. Okay. Jameel Shrine down in South Carolina. Well, welcome, brother.
Yeah. I don't know. I wanted to do Scottish Rite and York Rite, but I just never really even thought about sliding over to the Shrine, which is crazy because there's a lot of Shriners in my old lodge that were Shriners, and I just never crossed over.
How about Grotto? Did you ever do Grotto?
I don't know anything about Grotto.
You don't know anything about Grotto?
Nothing about Grotto. Mm. Nothing about the Grange or anything like that. You know,
well, the Grange, I don't think is Masonic.
It's not?
No, that's it's like a agricultural social group.
Agriculture? How? Like save the trees?
No. Agriculture, like farmers would join it and stuff. It was like sort of a social and political kind of organizational body. The idea being that, you know, it advocates on behalf of local farmers that join it. So it's kind of like a collective sort of, I don't know. I'm not very good at describing it, but also I'm not a member of it. Yeah. I've always lived in cities, but I've heard it explained by a couple different brothers. But yeah, you don't have to be a Mason.
Which is funny because you're like a country boy as fuck.
Well,
you're Mr. IT. I do enjoy outdoors cities, yeah. But like you're very outdoorsy for somebody who's like a quote unquote city boy.
I like to diversify, right? So if the apocalypse ever occurs, they're really not going to need software engineers. So I better have some other skills. So that was really what got me into all those things.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And
I live out in the country now. But
Jed says, I know I was a pipe major and press for 15 years. I taught Ray how to play. Cool.
What?
I'm Scott Blanchard. I haven't made it to the Grotto or the Shrine. I've been invited to the Masonic Order of Ephesian. Oh, let's talk about that. What the hell is that?
Oh, yeah. I've never heard of that.
And excited to
Athelstan,
see
the Masonic Order of Athelstan.
Interesting. True. The Shrine is worth it. I'm loving every event they put on. Yeah, I know they put on some pretty good events. That was John C. I don't know. I suck as a human being, as a Mason.
That's not true.
What's going on, Ligarius? Yeah, I haven't been to any of the Shrine events whatsoever.
You should try one. They've got a Shrine Club, the Naugatuck Valley Shrine Club, which I think is fairly local.
Yeah, and I'm very ignorant with that. I don't know anything about the Shrine.
Well, I'll drag you to some stuff, because I'm sure they're going to make me try to drag you to some stuff, so that will be my mission in life from now on, I'm sure. That'll be my unit, is the George Recruiting Unit.
George Recruiting Unit.
Yeah. Grotto's pretty cool. If you don't know anything about it.
I know nothing about Grotto either.
So it's kind of similar to the Shrine. It's got very Middle Eastern kind of overtones to the symbolism,
like,
and the
Allah
ritual.
Akbar Salam and shit like that, or what?
It's not as kind of Arabic, I guess, as the Shrine is.
Okay.
but it is definitely like Eastern kind of philosophical and symbolism based. Let me think if I can remember what the acronym is for what the actual name of the order is. I cannot.
It's MOVPER.
So
I can see it right through the blinds over there on the banner.
It's something of the Prophets of the Enchanted Realm. I'm not being a very good representative of the Grotto right now, but their charity is dentistry for children with special needs.
Oh.
So that's their sort of, their go-to, whereas the Shrine is, obviously the Shriners Children's Hospital, and then Northern Masonic Jurisdiction, Scottish Rite, does the dyslexia centers.
Yep.
So their thing is like childhood dentistry.
And then the Knights Templar is the Knights Templar Eye Foundation.
Eye Foundation, yep.
Trying to cure cancer of the eye.
Yep. Yep.
Every single one of the appending bodies has their own thing, which is pretty freaking cool.
Some of them give a ton of money. yeah. every day to those,
and not
those
to,
charities.
And not to the Illuminati or the New World Order, you fuckers, no. for listening.
Yeah, we're not trying to take over the world. We're trying to make the world a better place.
Some of us.
Yeah, some of us. But yeah, the Grotto is more like it's like a social organization like the Shrine, right? So very little ritual involved when you're kind of indoctrinated into the order. There's sort of like a little bit of pageantry involved, but not a ton, mm-hmm. just like the Shrine, right? There's not a series of degrees or anything like that. And usually when we meet, you know, we actually have Zinda Grotto meets here in the Waterbury Masonic Temple. You know, we'll have like a typical business meeting every once in a while, but they also do a lot of social stuff, like, you know, family days where we'll go out to a restaurant or something like that, restaurant and bar, invite the family.
All right, so this is how you know my eyes.
You need me to increase the font size? I can do that.
Hold on, no. This is how I know my eyes are like blurry as hell, because right. John C. wrote, "Do y'all have a Daughters of the Nile?" And I thought that was WAP.
VHAP. I mean, I don't know what.
For anybody who knows what the Cardi B song is, WAP, I'm like, oh my God. And then I'm like, no, no, you read that wrong, George.
No.
It's chapter.
Oh, he said chapter. Yeah. Okay. Daughters of the Nile, I believe.
We do.
We don't?
We do.
There's definitely one somewhere in Connecticut. There's somewhere in Connecticut. Not local to us.
Yeah, he said, Jeb said, yes, Pyramid does. Yeah, I know that there's one floating around there.
So hold on. So Jed lives down in Florida, and he also taught Brother Ray Collette how to play.
He was originally from Connecticut. He was from Easton Lodge.
Oh, all right. Well,
he's from Easton Lodge.
Clearly, I haven't been paying good enough attention. I'm sorry, Worship Brother Jed.
Yeah. yeah, I know those Daughters of the Nile. See, a lot of these, like even the other one. What's the other one? The fucking turtles, right? I don't know.
Well, the turtle is, that's like... it's not like a recognized, really, appendant body. That's just a fun degree that you can take.
Oh, okay.
I don't think they have their own international turtle order or something like that. But there's Daughters of the Nile, which is not super popular, I don't think, in Connecticut. But there's definitely one because somebody brought fraternal greetings at the last Grand Lodge meeting. So I know they're around, and there's Job's Daughters, which I don't believe we have in Connecticut, but my mother-in-law was one when she was young. I think there's a couple other ones, too.
Jed says he moved down in 2016. He's a past master of Orange Lodge 143.
Oh, okay. Well, apologies, my brother, for not knowing that.
You suck, jackass. I should know that. My wife recently joined... Daughters of the Nile. She's loving it. Yeah. See, I'm so ignorant with some of these things that like I don't really know much about them. Like I don't.
So Daughters of the Nile, and I could be wrong, but I believe it's the sort of women's auxiliary organization of the Shrine. I believe.
Oh, okay. So it's like the Beauceon Order of the Beauceon for females with what's their friggin' names? The Knights Templar.
Knights Templar Commandery. Yeah. So Job's Daughters, I'm not really sure how that works, but that's a youth organization, a Masonic mm-hmm. youth organization for girls, just like Rainbow for girls.
Oh, no shit.
D-Malay for boys. But Daughters of the Nile, I believe, is like a women's auxiliary.
You got the confirmation there. Are you a turtle? I'm not a turtle. I don't know anything about the damn turtle.
All right. Eventually, I will do that degree.
I'm going to get on my soapbox here. I'm probably going to piss off
don't
a lot
do
of Masons. But
don't do it.
I don't know. Some of these degrees and stuff, I can't get on board with. Like,
it's supposed to be fun.
But... where did we go from being a secret society and the mystery and everything to now making asses of ourselves? You know what I mean? Like,
well, you know, sometimes, I mean, everything kind of teaches a lesson.
Everything kind of teaches a lesson. Yeah, I guess you're right.
And Freemasonry, like Blue Lodge especially.
Showing my ignorance, I'm being a freaking...
I'm just taking the devil's advocate here. But most of, you know, the appendant bodies, Blue Lodge Masonry, we're very proper, right, in Lodge. Like, there's a air of decorum that one must maintain and so forth. And I think a lot of these other orders kind of came about because some brothers were like, hey, we just... occasionally just want to hang out and not have a strict rule set that we always have to adhere to and always be on. So I think that's where a lot of that kind of stuff came about. The turtle degree is interesting because your family can take it, right? Like your kids and your wife and stuff like that.
Really?
I believe kids are allowed. I can't remember if it's a 21 plus thing.
We got Zachary W. in the freaking chat throwing gang signs. I don't know what the hell
gang signs.
Yeah, YBYSAIA.
Oh, that's it's a turtle.
Turtle term or something like
that. It's a turtle thing. Yeah, I'm not going to get into that. But
Brother Gregory, greetings from King David's Lodge 209 in California. I do work with the OES. It's the Order of the Eastern Star. Outside of Blue Lodge, Rainbow Girls was established for girls who had no Masonic relations. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Hey, welcome, brother.
Order of the Eastern Star, I think they changed their rules at some point as well. I think somebody at Grand Lodge that represented OES, or maybe it was Amaranth, said that they changed their rules in recent times.
Wasn't Amaranth all female?
Yeah, but there was also something that said that you had to have like a father who's a Mason or something like that, and they made it a little bit more inclusive at a certain point.
Found it.
I listened to that story too with rapt attention, and it just fell out of my brain while I was on vacation last week. So I apologize if somebody knows that story.
I'm gonna go with the alcohol.
The alcohol? No, it wasn't the alcohol.
The alcohol made it fall out of your brain.
I didn't drink heavily.
It usually turns you into freaking goober brains, oatmeal brains.
No. Not what and how we were drinking.
Recently got a chapter of Demolé. Yeah.
Very cool.
You know what I really wish, and this is what I really pushed for Morningstar, which ended up falling on its freaking tits, was to try to get the chapter, right?
Chapter. Yeah, you were trying to get the chapter.
I was trying to get a chapter to open in Morningstar. It ended up falling on its face, but hey, listen, tried. Because historically, you know, the chapter always followed Blue Lodge.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of lodges had at least a chapter, because the chapter of York Rite basically finished the story of what happened after your Master Mason degree.
Yep. And in some jurisdictions, it's like part of the Blue Lodge degrees. Like it's part of the series of initial degrees that you take.
Turtles started, this is Scott Blanchard.
Yep.
Turtles started with U.S. servicemen in Europe, not Masonic, but we seem to keep it alive, just play.
Yep.
Interesting.
I didn't know. It was pilots, I believe. Correct me if I'm wrong, really? Brother Scott Blanchard. But yeah, I believe it was like Royal Air Force pilots that were just like, we're going to come up with a fun fraternal order.
And it didn't start in the U.S. if it was Royal Air Force pilots.
Yeah.
England!
I believe that's the case. But again, my mind is mush. Not for the reasons that you might think.
Bullshit.
There's a lot of sun, man. Took a lot of radiation damage when I was down there, as you can imagine.
Did you get a lot of vitamin D while you're down there?
Oh, well, not the kind of vitamin D that you can.
That was a setup.
Yeah, no, I was. I'm not that stupid. I was rocking the SPF 55 like you wouldn't believe, man. We were very, very responsible. Worshipful Brother Danny, who's got like bronze skin, is hitting the SPF 15 coconut oil, dry oil stuff. Jesus, and I was like, dude, I don't know how you can do that. And like laying in the sun.
Isn't he
like,
also a hairy man beast too?
But not enough to like, it's not like he's got a coat, you know, he's still going to take radiation damage, but he's got, you know, very, very bronzy skin.
I know a Sasquatch when I see one.
Yeah.
That was a squatch.
There were a lot of laughs. You know, we definitely made fun of each other. I can't. A lot of the things, you know, a lot of the running jokes, I definitely can't talk about on the air. But, you know, it started as soon as we left. Right, we flew out of Tweed Airport, New Haven, which, by the way, is a fairly comfortable and efficient airport to fly out of. Direct flight, direct flight down to
and their planes
Fort Lauderdale.
Fall out of the sky or lose doors midair.
Well, I mean, they're still Boeing, so you know, it is what it is. We were on a 737-800, like it's a fairly good sized plane, tiny airstrip though, so it was interesting.
God
landing.
Blessed from Kentucky.
Ah, good morning, brother.
One of my potential hotspots after I retire.
Yeah, it's Kentucky. a nice area.
I want to go somewhere where there's nobody around. I'm going to live in the woods like a fucking hobbit.
I mean, you could do that around here, too.
Ted, no, you can't. Connecticut!
Well, in the Northeast, New Hampshire, is a lot of empty space. and they're very, you know, small government up there.
Are they, though?
Yeah. The taxes are kind of non-existent.
So is Montana in the middle of the freaking woods where it can shoot somebody from a mile and a half away. What the hell was that pop?
I don't know. Maybe somebody's here.
I didn't hear the door go beep, beep. What the fuck is that?
I don't know. It's a lot of tapping.
Yeah, it is.
Now I'm a little worried. This is a haunted lodge, so.
Yeah. What is your name?
We'll have to be very careful what we talk about. So
what is your quest?
Poltergeists don't throw some of these ancient books at us.
Well, I mean, everybody's seen Monty Python and the Hurt Search for the Holy Grail, so that was my
not key. Everybody,
these
but yes.
Questions three. What is your favorite color? Yeah. Somebody responds to that. I'm out of this fucking building.
Oh, yeah.
Like a lightning bolt.
Yeah. We've got too much to live for. So as I was walking into the airport, I've got one of these little roller carry-ons, right? It's a very nice one. It's lasted me forever. I've traveled a lot with it. And as soon as I expand the handle thing to turn it into a little roller bag, it just keeps going and disintegrates. So I have...
Ligarius answered the question. Thank you. The Turtles was started by a World War II U.S. Air Corps pilot, Captain
H.P.
McGowan, not the Royal Air Force.
Oh, okay. Thank you for Googling
you
that for us, brother.
You suck, jackass.
So I was
Look
wrong.
At you trying to give Brits credit.
I don't know. I thought that's how I remembered the look.
It's too much vitamin D.
Yeah, it's too much vitamin D.
Oh, yeah. Man. I was trying to slow walk you into that one.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Trust me, man. The banter that we've had over the last week.
That's how it goes, though.
I'm pretty wise to all of that now.
Brother Gregor, I think everyone at Lodge has a presence, not necessarily haunted, but I smell pipe smoke every now and then in the library. Oh, why do you got to say that shit? We're in the library.
Finest pipe weed in the Shire. Oh, if you smell pipe weed, it's because there's a humidor right next to you over there full of cigars.
So. Wait, what?
There's a humidor full of cigars over there.
You didn't tell me this?
I didn't know I had to. I think I've talked about it before.
Swipe or no swiping?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you can have one. They're community cigars. I put a few in there. There should be a Hiram and Solomon in there.
Really?
That. Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of weird, the pops. I hope the mics picked that up so everybody could hear that shit.
I think they did. I could hear it in my monitors. It's probably the heaters. When the heaters kick on, they do pop a bit.
We'll go with the heaters.
Shout out to the Waterbury Masonic Temple Corps and the brothers that came out to do the work day the other day. Uh-huh. I think the reason these things are popping is because they're actually working now because they vacuumed out all of the crud from in between all the fins on all of these things.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll go with that. That's sound theory.
Yeah. That's right, Brother Gregory. It's the Hiram Humidor. It's actually pretty cool. One of my brothers carved it for me. I don't think we ever showed that on air.
Right?
Yeah. Well, there's that one, and there's a bigger one that has square and compasses burned into
this
the
one?
Top. That's a different one. That might be maybe Joe's personal stash.
Yeah.
Oh.
Empty.
Yeah. Hang on 1 second. Talk about something while I go get it.
All right. What are we going to talk about? So this is just one time in band camp. No, I'm just kidding. What the hell was I going to say? Where is it? Where did you put it's up there. Yeah, I'm too short. I can't see that shit. I can't see over the chair. As a matter of fact, my feet aren't even touching the ground, which is why the camera's closer. Nope. Stays right there. For anybody who didn't hear that, it's a Widow's Son square and compasses on the... top of the box. Ken is now inspecting the box. There's a Hiram and Solomon cigar that's not going to be going back in the box. So. Nice. Very nice.
Yep, so hopefully everybody enjoyed that view.
What, your ass?
Yeah. Well, yep.
Your ass full of vitamin D.
No, and we wonder why the ghosts are all riled up because of that kind of nonsense.
Hey, listen,
Yeah. So that's a Hiram and Solomon. Those are pretty good cigars. I get those down the road at the Commissioner's Cigar Lounge, which several of Harmony members are members of, and the owners of that establishment are also recently made Masons. So shout out to them for providing us delightful cigars.
Question then, the person who produces this, is it a Masonic cigar?
Or is it I think
hijacked the logo and called it that.
I believe the owners are Masons. I believe they are.
Very nice.
Because that was kind of the first question that we asked too, was, you know, hey, is this just like some Illuminati, like they thought the symbol was cool, so they slapped it on a cigar? And I believe the owners are Masons.
If there's one term I can take out of people's fucking mouths, and that's Illuminati. Not the goddamn Illuminati.
No.
And everybody seems to marry the two all the time.
Well, if you don't know any better, like the profane world kind of sees the two as maybe interchangeable, but
Let's talk about the Illuminati, all right? It was an order by Adam Weishaupt back in, like, I don't know, 1860 or whenever the hell back it was. No, before then, 1705. I don't know, but because George Washington actually had correspondence about the Illuminati, that they infiltrated the Freemasons. But George Washington basically said to guard the West Gate, in so many words, and make sure that they don't get in. As for the Illuminati being in order, I don't think it's an order anymore. Do I think a lot of the symbolism blended into Freemasonry? Yes. Did they somewhat probably get into Freemasonry? Yes. Mm-hmm. But I think that their nefarious, you know, and understand, the Illuminati wasn't bad in its day. Adam Weishaupt had the right idea. Separation of church and state. That's what he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it got started. Was, yeah, he was overthrowing governments left and right, but he was overthrowing them, or he was talking about overthrowing them. I don't know if he actually overthrew them, but he talked about it because a lot of these governments over in Europe were basically pawns of the Catholic Church. So he wanted to separate the government from church and state. He got a little banana sandwich back, you know, with some of his writings, meaning one of the things he wanted was a utopian society where there was no government. He was an anarchist. Anarchist. That's a better word. He wanted a utopian society where if everybody followed the moral law, there would be no need for government.
Right. He was an idealist.
On paper, it sounds amazeballs. Yeah. However, not everybody subscribes to this freaking theory or idea. Some people enjoy government.
Yep.
I think government needs to be there to keep shit organized, but I don't think they need to be all up in your shit.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what he was trying to do.
And he was way into the Enlightenment, too, so, you know, philosophical and scientific discovery and Enlightenment was a big part of, you know, the principles behind the Illuminati. And, yeah, I mean, nowadays, yes, and they probably, you know, cobbled together a bunch of their ritual and stuff from Freemasonry because a lot of organizations did that.
Right.
Freemasonry predated a lot of that, and I think, you know, nowadays, it's really just scammers cobbling together their symbolism and so forth to try to scam you.
Fucking dragon piss or whatever in our first bunch of episodes, remember?
No, they're not even trying to sell you anything. They just want your money.
They want your money. But they were like, oh, you've got to take the rituals. You have to spend $200 and send us $200 to get, I don't know, dragon piss or whatever the fuck
they
were
trying to. The beak of 100 eagles.
I don't know what the hell. But anyway. Zachary W. Oh, this I want to talk about, and then I'm going to get to open access question. They got permission from their Grand Lodge, and they all asked in return. All they asked in return was to make a good quality cigar. Yep. We're talking about the cigar thing now.
Hiram and Solomon.
I got to go on my little. I think I'm just getting old. I'm just turning into my old man. A bitter old nasty. You're gonna get off my lawn.
Yeah, I was just gonna say.
But I will say. Here we go. Here's what I'm saying. This is. You hear me out on this one, okay?
What really grinds your gears?
Grinds my gears? I'll tell you what grinds my gears. Asking permission from a Grand Lodge to make a cigar and put a logo on it. First off, there is no trademark on the Freemasons logo. I mean, shit. Like I said, I went into an Old Navy years ago, and there was a shirt that had the Scottish Rite logo on it. They didn't ask permission. Old Navy was like, fuck them, we're putting this logo on a shirt.
Or they didn't even know what it was.
They didn't even know what it was.
It as something that was popular.
Some Giacomo was going to buy that shirt and rock it. and not know what the hell
think it was just,
the symbol of the Twin Eagles is.
I think it's professional courtesy, right? I think that's what they were after, was just like, hey, that's, you know, if cool they can rubber stamp this and they won't come after us after the fact.
But
right?
That was, well, that's the part that pisses me off. The Grey Lodge right. can come after you for trying to make a little side hustle and put it using the Masonic logo. It's not even a side hustle. It's promotion of the craft. So basically, the Grand Lodge or Masonry in itself is getting free advertisement and they get to make a little freaking cash in their pocket. That's kind of what burns my ass, and maybe that's what burns my ass because of the ordeal
of the
we
podcast.
Went through.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? We're sitting here trying to promote
situation.
A craft and asking nothing in return, and we're doing it for the benefit of Freemasonry.
All right, our situation's different, though, because we're not
bah humbug,
a for-profit, you know, trying to make you know, a profit margin off of something, that a tangible good that we're selling.
But see,
with them, it's like they're manufacturing something and they're selling
but who
it.
Who gives a shit? Freemasonry is all about you scratch my back, I scratch yours, right? Helping each other out, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what the fuck they're doing? They're making money, and they're also promoting the craft. So why would the Grand Lodge, I don't understand why you need to ask permission. I always beg forgiveness before I ask for permission.
Yeah, that's how we handled things, but I think things are different in other jurisdictions too, right?
But like, see, on
yes,
the flip side,
they don't own the, you know, there's no trademark, there's no registered this and that, but like.
But again, in our situation, you know, we beg for forgiveness. Well, I didn't beg for forgiveness. I'll eat shit before I'll freaking beg forgiveness. But my point is,
we do have a handler, though. We have a Grand Lodge handler.
Do we?
Yeah, we do.
Where is he? Well, what's
not,
his name?
He's not here.
What's his name?
You know who it is. It's right where Full Brother Shane. Yeah. We just haven't pissed him off yet.
Fair enough.
That's why we haven't heard from him.
But understand, how many of the brothers, now that we're doing this and we're 6 years running,
oh yeah,
how many of them see
yet.
The light and like, wow, they're actually doing something good?
Hopefully all of them, but you know.
You know what I mean? You're always going to get there. They swear
yeah.
too much. Kids
yeah.
too white. They're making vitamin D jokes no. about penises. No. I know it's about penises.
Nobody's,
you know what I mean? Like,
nobody's ever complained about
my whiteness.
I'm just
saying, like, they swear too much. They brush my
yes.
hair. You know what
yeah.
I mean? But there's, you're always going to get the naysayer. But in the grand scheme of things, what are we doing?
Promoting the craft.
And how many people have we helped?
A bunch.
And how many people have we given enlightenment to and pointed them in the right direction? I had a dude literally last week who messaged me like, hey, man, I'm trying to join. I mean, I don't know, whatever, Wyoming, Utah, somewhere where
yeah.
I was. He had no idea where to go. Pointed him in the right direction. Boom. He's 2 days later, I put my petition in. Man, I'm so excited.
Awesome.
My point being yeah. is,
we're number one in the Philippines, damn it.
This is what, don't fucking start. But this is my point. Sometimes government, Grand Lodges, need to fuck off and just let it ride, which leads me into this one. In your opinion, how do you see Freemasonry, Blue Lodge, changing or progressing in the next 5 years? From a question from OpenX. How do I see it progressing? I don't think Freemasonry progresses on a Grand Lodge level. I think, unfortunately, I feel Grand Lodges put a cap on shit.
Well,
sometimes
I got a counterpoint to that.
Okay, I feel like they're more of the inhibitor. Okay, because one of the tenets we have in Freemasonry is not to make innovations in Freemasonry.
Yep,
I think partially that's wrong. Because look at what the Scottish Rite does. They change their degrees all the time. And you know what happens? People go, oh, cool. They changed this degree. I want to go see it. I believe that you should have your original degrees. I have no problem with innovation. Now, granted, I know I'm going to get somebody in this comment be like, well, you just took a shit on the turtles a minute ago. You're talking out of both sides of your mouth, jackass. But, I don't have a problem with the turtle degree. How do I put this? I just want... I don't know what the fuck I want. I want to go to sleep. I'm fucking tired. I'm ranting at this point. No, I just want there to be able to be innovations but keep the original shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't... I think it's wrong for Grand Lodge to be like, well, you can't do that because you didn't get our permission. I mean... Eat a satchel of Richards. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
well,
who are you? Like, Blue Lodge, masonry progresses at the ground floor.
Yeah.
Harmony, Ashlar Aspatuck, Morningstar Lodge. Oh, these lodges innovate and do things on their own to better the craft. My opinion, not trying to be a dick, and I'm sure I'm going to piss off a multitude of people, but what do Grand Lodges do to benefit the betterment of Freemasonry?
Okay. Well,
in my opinion, every Grand Lodge I went to, it was always a dissertation about how much money we're losing and why we need to have more members because we can't give more money to Masonic Hair.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I get why, but my point is, things don't stay together by government. People keep things together.
Yep. Well, I think the real benefit of
rant over.
Yeah. I'll counterpoint here. The real benefit of Grand Lodge, and yes, like things do probably get a little bit more out of control than they really should, but I think that the benefit of having a Grand Lodge is they keep, first and foremost, ritual consistency.
I'm fine with that.
With the Blue Lodge degrees. Now, okay, there you can innovate, and if you're an appendant body, you can create new... Okay, totally get that. That's fine. With the three original degrees of Freemasonry, I think we lose something by changing it.
Oh, I don't want to change those.
In such a way that... Right. So that's... Now, what's the purpose of Grand Lodge? Well, one of them is we receive our charters from Grand Lodge. So yes, we are subordinate to them at the lodge level. But it all depends on how much power the Grand Lodge has. In Connecticut, it's not...
No.
What I would consider to be, you know, over... draconian or anything like that. There's, you know, yes, they maintain ritual consistency.
Can I segue in that? Can I just add to that? By no means am I talking about our Grand Lodge. Our Grand Lodge is actually fantastic.
They're pretty good, yeah.
They leave us be. They let us innovate. They let us put it a chamber reflection in Morningstar. They let us do this podcast. They didn't pull no dues cards. They didn't make a big stink out of it. There was one person who made a big stink and tried to, you know, create a coup against us.
Well, he was just angry, yeah.
But realistically, our Grand Lodge looked at it and like, yeah, they're good. Yeah. Like, our Grand Lodge really is non-draconian. And shout out to the Grand Lodge of the State of Connecticut for being as cool as they are. Yeah. I'm talking about other Grand Lodges, and I hope this does make it to other Grand Lodges who will have those draconian rules.
Mm.
You know, back off.
But membership increase type things, like, you know, I was going to speak to the membership program that the Grand Lodge of Connecticut that, Most Worshipful Brother Joe Porco put into place last year. It did really well. Like, we netted membership.
Yeah.
And why were we able to do that? Because of the resources at the Grand Lodge level, right? The advertising, all that kind of stuff to, like, get new potential members to the West Gates. The individual lodges just wouldn't have been able to pull off.
We need to have another Grand Master up here. So, it's been a while. Been a hot one. It's our fault. We haven't really put the invitation out.
Yeah. Maybe Most Worshipful Brother... Ed Page might be willing to come on. He's talk to him. He's a great guy.
Freaking dynamite guy.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, of all of Masons that I've gotten along with, he's a good dude, man. Yep. I thoroughly enjoy his company. The freaking guy's always got a smile on his face, always seeks you out to shake your hand. That is a fucking leader if I've ever seen
him. He's a hugger, by the way.
He's a hugger. That's fine. Whatever. I'll take a hug.
He's going to seek you out to hug you.
That's fine. I don't give a shit. I'll take a romance hug.
He's a great guy. I'll see if I can pull some strings and maybe
like
see
every time I've ever been to an event where he is, that dude seeks you out. He knows your name. He remembers your name. Let me tell you, there are people in your life that are fantastic leaders, and he's one of them.
Mm-hmm.
They seek you out. They don't break your balls. They only ask that you do what you're supposed to do. And you know, I'm also giving my shout out to my future boss here.
Who's your future boss?
Well, when I bid off, I'm going to. I don't want to drop his name because again, I know he's a chief in the judicial marshals.
Okay.
And I was on FTO, which is field training. When I first got into it, I'm on FTO. I'm still the FNG for anyone who doesn't know. It's called fucking new guy.
Yeah, that's a lot of acronyms there.
But this now, mind you, I'm just a ground floor marshal, just doing my job. I'm a trainee technically. On FTO, so I'm still following around my freaking field training officer like a fucking puppy dog at this point. But this man came up to me, and before I even met him, he knew my name.
That's the mark of a good leader right there.
And
yeah.
he never forgot it. Mm-hmm. And he also is another one. He will seek you out just to say hello. Hmm. Hey, how's it going? He's
got an Arlie Emery kind of vibe about him.
But he's always got a smile on his face.
Yep.
I mean, he'll chew an ass. Don't get me wrong. Like, that's good leaders need to also be able to chew an ass. Yep. But my point is the qualities of a good leader are one, always knowing your people's names.
Mm.
Two, never allow them enough rope to make their own mistakes. And they'll love you to death.
Yeah, and don't hang them with it, you know?
Actually,
pay the tab and keep the receipt.
Keep talking, Ken, because I have something here.
Well, servant leadership, I think, is an important thing. I think we've talked about this on the podcast before, too, but never make one of your people do something that you're not willing to do yourself. And show them and let them know that, you know, you're not above doing it yourself. It's just part of the job is you occasionally have to give orders and other people have to be subordinate and... Right, because that's for the good of the organization.
Okay.
But servant leadership is something that Most Worshipful Brother Ed Page talks about a lot when he talks, and he's just like that.
Found some things. I can't remember if I said these on the podcast before. I can't remember if I talked about this guy before. But this is a book called The Rogue Warrior, and it's by Dick Marcinko, who is the leader of... If I've said this before or talked about this before in the chat, please let me know.
Sounds vaguely familiar, but I don't think he went into it a lot.
Okay, so I found... So in his books, he was the creator of SEAL Team 6. And in his books, he actually, at the back of his book, he has the Rogue Warrior Leadership Code. And I freaking love this shit. So I'm going to read these two. And anybody who listens to this who's going to be in a leadership position... I know when you become the master of a lodge, they have our own ritual and keep harmony.
Yeah, and you learn something about it as you go through the chairs, too.
But take this, listen to this, and apply it to you, because this shit is fantastic.
Okay.
And his leadership code was, I will test my theories on myself first. I will be my own guinea pig. You literally just said that.
I like that.
I will be totally committed to what I believe, and I will risk all that I have for these beliefs.
Also good.
That's a good one.
Die on your sword if you need to in certain situations. Yep.
And on top of that, I mean, we talk about indecision.
Yeah.
We've talked about indecision and not being able to make a single decision.
Yeah.
Like not knowing whether to go left or right.
A good leader doesn't do that.
He says, we're going right, let's go. Yep. There's no, which way should we go? He just makes a pulls the trigger and goes. I will back my subordinates all the way when they take reasonable risks to help me achieve my goals.
Yep. Solid.
Boom. I will not punish my people for making mistakes. I will only punish them for not learning from their mistakes.
Yep. Pay the tax. Keep the receipt. Yep.
You said that too.
Yep.
I will not be afraid to take action because I know that almost any action is better than inaction. And I will sometimes not, and I know sometimes not acting is the boldest action of all.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep.
I will always make it crystal clear where I stand and what I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You got to make sure that your vision is communicated. Yep.
I will always be easy to find. I will be at the center of the battle.
Yep.
Boom.
Yep.
Mic drop. Follow your people in. Best freaking advice.
Yep. We watched a few episodes of Band of Brothers as well while we were on vacation because Worshipful Brother Danny had never seen it before. And, you know, Big Kev and I were quoting it a couple times and we're like, yeah, all right, Danny doesn't understand what we're talking about. We should show him this. But
who's your favorite character?
I think... You know, that's a tough one, but, you know, obviously Dick Winters he's the poster boy for servant leadership. Everything you just talked about, that was him. That was how he operated, and he's a very likable character as a result. But I really like Nixon, too.
Spears.
You liked Spears? Spears. Because he was a psychopath? Everyone thought he was a psychopath? Yeah.
Everyone thought he was a psychopath.
But he was a good,
effective leader. Yeah. And he was always at the center of the battle.
Oh, he was at the tip
of
the spear.
That dude ran right across Foy, was this the city?
Ran straight
across, didn't ask for any help, just bolted
hooked
across.
Hooked up with the other unit and then came back.
Hooked up with Fox Company and came back. Like, that is some gangster shit.
Yeah. Like, and everybody was just like, you know.
But you know what? He had the command and respect of his people.
Yeah.
Because he was the first person. He didn't he didn't say, hey, you, go run across that field. They're like, fuck you.
Yeah.
That dude was like, all right, hold the fort down. I'll be right back. Pew, and he was gone.
Yep.
That right there gets people to follow you.
Yep.
That, I mean, you can't ask for a better leader. There's another thing here that I got. This one I like, too. This isn't leadership, but this is also the Ten Commandments of Spec War.
Special warfare?
Yeah.
There we go.
But you can find wisdom in this. I've done Sun Tzu. We've talked about Sun Tzu. You can find inspiration in your life on this as well.
Yep.
And you can apply this to any... I mean, this is almost like Sun Tzu's Art of War. I mean, people in business use this too, but here's another one. This is the Ten Commandments of Spec War. I am the warlord and the wrathful god of combat, and I will always lead you from the front, not the rear.
Okay.
Quality of a leader. I will treat you all alike, just like shit.
Everybody's equally garbage in this platoon.
I mean, he's joking here. I will treat you like shit, but that's not 100% true. He just means everyone's equal.
Yep.
Everyone's going to be treated exactly the same. That's a very important. Don't play favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from cliques.
Yep.
Thou shalt do nothing I will not do first, and thus you will be created warriors in my deadly image.
There you go.
I mean, if you take it from a leadership of a master of a lodge point of view, I mean,
I'm not going to ask anything of you if I'm not willing to do it myself.
Bingo.
Yep.
I shall punish thy bodies because thou more sweatest in training, thou less leadest in combat. Apply that to your ritual. I will practice my ritual.
Yeah.
Because if I practice my ritual, I won't fuck it up during a degree.
Yeah, and we're going to be serious about
learn
it.
Learn your ritual.
You need less during a degree. Yeah.
Unless you want Messner correcting you. Mm. Oh, that was a shot at Alex. That was a dirty shot at Alex.
Why was it a shot at Alex? Oh, because Alex was getting corrected. Alex knows his ritual.
I better shut up, because the next time Alex gives me a tattoo, he's going to fuck it up and tell you to draw a big vitamin D on my left arm.
Yep.
Indeed, if thou hurtest in thy efforts, thou suffer painful things, thou art doing it right. So make mistakes. Yeah. Mistakes make you better.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, breaking this down in layman's terms and not combat terms, but that's the more mistakes you make, the better you'll get.
Yep. Everybody sucks at everything the first time.
Everybody sucks at everything in life. You're going to make mistakes in life.
Mm-hmm.
The life lesson here. Life coach Mudry here on the couch.
Yes. Yes.
There's another shot.
Doesn't sound very life coachy. Everybody sucks the first time you do it.
You do. That's you
true.
Suck.
That's true.
I'm sorry you suck.
It's not all puppy dogs and, you know, sunshine.
You're going to suck your first time. There's very few people in life. They're going to come out the gate hotter than a tea kettle and get it right the first time in any aspect of anything. There's always room for improvement.
Natural talent is a fallacy.
Thou shalt keep it simple, stupid.
Okay. Yeah.
That's, I mean, keep it simple. Don't overcomplicate the fuck out of things. Let's use that in terms of committees. Don't have 37 people doing the same goddamn thing.
Yeah.
You do this, you do that, you do this. Boom. You report to me. Boom.
Yep.
You know, don't call
no complicated chains
call
of
Bob
command.
And have Kevin get back to you and you three you like chain of command.
Yeah.
Very simple.
Yep.
Thou not has to like it, thou just has to do it. Yeah.
Yep. Sometimes you're gonna have to do crap that you don't like.
I don't like being a steward and having to freaking serve food and clean up tables and shit. But guess what? If you want to advance in this freaking thing, buttercup, you got
to
do it.
You need to learn how to serve before you can learn how to lead.
Bingo. Thou shalt never assume. Don't assume somebody's going to clean up the jewels. Don't assume somebody's going to turn off the lights and the heat. Guess what?
At the end of the day, it's your responsibility.
Bingo.
Don't assume.
Verily, thou art not paid for thy methods, but for thy results. By which meaneth thou shalt kill thine enemy by any means available before he killeth you. All right, let's talk about this. Again, this is all combat.
This is spec war, right?
This is spec war, but we're breaking it down in how you live in life, right? You're not paid for your ideas. You're paid for results, right?
Okay, yeah.
So you can come up with a theory, but if your ass doesn't apply it to anything, what's it good for? It's an idea.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That one I think is less easy to generalize to to life, because it's, you know, I won't do a results that are the only thing that matter. You stab people in the back and stuff in order to get, you know, get your vision.
See, I'm not reading it like that.
It's a reality. I don't,
I'm not reading it like that. I'm reading, I want to do an event to promote Freemasonry and get people in the door, and I want to have this, I want to have that. You come up with the ideas, you come up with the plan, everything, and then nothing happens.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't generate any value unless it hits market, right? So if it doesn't get done, it doesn't matter how great of an idea it is, right?
How many times that you've had brothers that you've I don't know about your lodge, but or other lodge, but I know of lodges that planned out events, and then it went tits up, and it just fell apart because nobody did anything.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes those things happen, and you learn from your mistakes, and sometimes it's like resources or something. You know,
improvise, adapt, and overcome as well, right? Yeah. If something goes awry, the leader, a good, effective leader,
pivots
and makes a move. All right, cool. We're not doing this. This is what we're doing now. And makes that decision.
Yeah.
As we've said before, Freemason lodges are not a democracy.
No.
They're not. Why aren't they a democracy?
Because that's not the design of the Masonic institution. It never really has been.
We're all brothers, equal, what do you think? Ask their opinion as a master. You ask your lodge's opinion. But at some point, there's got to be one guy who wears a funny hat. Not this one. A funny hat that pulls the trigger. Says, all right, I got my collective ideas. We're not going to do all that. This is what we're going to do. And pulls the trigger and it's done.
People might not
like it, but thou hast to do it.
Yeah,
right?
It's part of the installation ceremony, as some have to lead, some have to follow. Like, that's the deal. Right?
Bingo!
It's part of the installation of officers ceremony. Right? You don't have to like everything the master of the lodge is doing, but he's the one that you voted in. He is in charge for that term of office. So supporting him is kind of your duty. It's the right thing to do. So let's see here. OpenX actually said, I knocked on my lodge's door because of this podcast. There you go, George. Pat yourself on the back again.
I didn't pat myself on the back.
I know. I'll pat your back for you.
I rub my vitamin D.
Oh, God. Well, that's great to hear, brother. Thank you much.
Yeah, and it's not me. Stop with that me shit.
I know.
We're a team. Yeah, we're a fucking tripod.
That we are.
I know which one you are.
Bong James Bong. He gave us a little top hat emoji. The master.
There's your daily dose of wisdom right there from Dick Marcinko. I mean, that's leadership right there in a nutshell. Make decisions. Be personable. Be approachable. That's number one. Be approachable. Nothing worse than having a boss, a leader who you can't walk up to because he's just got fuck you written on his forehead.
Yeah. You know? What was the name of that guy in Band of Brothers that was like the crap, like came out of West Point, came in with the Replacements, took over a platoon, nobody trusted him?
Dix.
That was Dix?
Dix. Okay. Remember he was like, I gotta call a regiment.
Yeah, he's like yawning in combat, and he's like, carry on, I'll be in the area. And because he just kinda like meanders off. And
somebody who didn't apply themselves.
Yeah.
Who didn't want to be.
Oh,
there.
Wasn't it like wasn't it Lieutenant Dyke?
Lieutenant Dyke. Dyke.
So he's like the antithesis. He's the opposite of your spears and your you know.
Because
your,
he didn't want to be bothered. He wanted to, he said it right in the beginning of the show, I think. He's like he got out of West Point. He had somebody who was higher up and he needed to get some sort of combat experience so he could move further up the chain.
Yep.
That is the fucking worst leadership quality you can possibly have.
Yep.
Is somebody who the best leaders are the ones that didn't want to be the damn leaders.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have any skin in the game. They just wanted to do their job. Those are the best leaders.
Yep.
The ones that want to climb the scale, those are the worst leaders.
Yep.
Because it's all about accolades and pins and awards and look at me,
and
I'm so goddamn
up.
Shiny.
Yep.
The best leaders are the ones who don't want it.
Yep. And Winters did not want it. He was I forget what he was, probably a lieutenant or something like that. And then he got... Or sergeant or whatever, and he
now,
got, you know, during D-Day as they were dropping. All the leaders above him got killed, and then he became in charge of Easy Company.
Now, David Schwimmer, his character, yeah. What the hell
Captain
is
Captain Sobel.
Captain Sobel. Yeah. Let's talk about Captain Sobel real quick as that a leader. Guy. Let's talk about Captain Sobel as, yeah. as a... This turned into... We should change this from listeners' questions to...
To leadership.
Band of Brothers leadership qualities dissected.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's talk about Captain Sobel. Good, effective leader. He pushed his people. He pushed them. His problem was he was a fucking asshole.
Nobody respected him.
Nobody respected him because he was a fucking asshole.
Yep.
He kept pulling their freaking their weekend passes,
yep.
which is liberty. Now we call it liberty in the military. You get weekend liberty or whatever the hell. But he kept pulling their passes because he just wanted to be a dick.
Well, he wanted to make Easy Company the best company in the regiment, and he did. He was effective at it, but
he lost.
He did it in such a way that nobody trusted him. Like he had no command authority, and he wouldn't have had command authority in combat, and that's why.
And that was the other thing is he
the guy above him,
combat.
Colonel Sink, sent him off to be a training,
and he was an excellent trainer.
Yeah,
but he sucked in the combat.
Yeah.
Nobody would have
followed him in the combat.
There are people who are great ritualists. And they need to be ritualists because they're great ritualists coached. But as a boss or a leader, they fucking suck.
Yeah, it can happen. So, yeah, there is...
Hashtag no names.
I think I read an article at one point about leadership and the different types of leadership as displayed in Band of Brothers. And, man, you can see it all.
Yeah.
Like, you see every type of leader. And, I mean, you can see by example what makes a decent one.
Right.
Which is effective and which is complete dog crap.
Now,
it's really fascinating to watch.
And with that also included, the other qualities of a good leadership is knowing what your weaknesses are.
Yeah.
And being able to take constructive criticism of those weaknesses.
Yeah. Or have people that you can trust that, you know, cover that part of you that you're weaker at.
Yeah.
You know?
Again, like a good leader doesn't need to scream and yell. A good leader doesn't need to be a fucking asshole to get their point across.
Mm-hmm.
You know, believe it or not, I believe personally, screaming and yelling has negative effect.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's warranted. Sometimes it is warranted.
Yeah, well, you're going to
lose
respect
the time.
For that leader.
And when you're hot as a tea kettle all the time, you get the Captain Sobel's case of where they just hated his guts.
Yeah. Yep.
And he was not effective. They rolled their eyes when he would give a command. They had no respect for him. Even if Captain Sobel, I feel personally, in the case of Captain Sobel, he was a dick. There's no doubt about that. He was an asshole. He was a tough son of a bitch.
Yep.
However, if he treated his men with a little bit more respect, I think the aspect of him not knowing where he's going and being confused all the time in battle.
Yeah. Would have been less of an issue. Somebody would have stepped up.
Somebody would have stepped up. Hey, Captain, listen, man, this is where we're at. This is where we're going. Yeah. But the problem is people were afraid to approach him.
Yeah, they wanted to see him fail.
They wanted to see him fail.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, when you are an asshole in life, people want to see you
You're
fail.
In it only for yourself. Nobody's going to back you if you're an asshole, no matter how effective that group of men is, that group of people that you led is. They're going to be great at their job, but they don't respect you. So,
and Captain Sobel is another perfect example. Captain Sobel is another perfect example of somebody who was in it for leadership, in it for accolades and titles and stuff.
Yep.
Because you remember when he was, I think it was, who's the guy above him?
Colonel Sink.
Remember when he promoted him?
Yeah.
And his face lit up. Oh,
yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Oh, you're so excited about that.
I hate David Schwimmer, too. He's such, like, a hateable, like, person. So it's, like, easy for him to do Captain Sobel.
He did a good job.
He saw the promotion, and then he's like, wait a second, you're taking Easy Company away from me? Even though Sink just said, look, you made the greatest company in the regiment.
Yep.
And it's definitely due to you. Now I'm sending you off to be a trainer.
Now, Colonel Sink recognized what Captain Sobel was all about.
Yep.
He knew what he was. That's why he fluffed his feathers and said, hey, man, we're going to give you a promotion.
Yep.
We're going to make you a training leader.
Yep.
You're taking away Easy Company?
Yeah.
But understand, you're more effective working more people.
The war effort needs
your help. So he fluffed his ego.
Yep.
The war effort needs your help here. He fluffed his ego, and he did it in such a good way that it didn't look like a reprimand.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He didn't. It didn't look like a reprimand. It looked like you were. We need you.
Yeah.
That right there is another quality of leadership, mm-hmm. is being able to effectively make things. Oh God, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, move the pieces around to make things more effective without knocking people down.
Thank you. Yeah. Perfect. Yeah. He didn't ruin him. He didn't.
Yep.
He didn't need to scream and yell at him. Why are all your sergeants mutinying against you? Blah 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 blah.
No, he didn't even bring that up.
Yeah, didn't even bring it up. He just said, "Hey, man, we need you to be a trainer. Yep. Be a great effective. I can't believe what you did with Easy Company. I can't wait for you. You need to be a trainer. You need to make more companies like you did with Easy." Mm-hmm. He fluffed his ego because he knew that's what he was all about.
Yep. Yep. And it worked. So Sink is another good leader for that reason.
Zachary W. Fact, the ability to tell someone to go to hell in such a manner that they look forward to it.
To the trip, yeah. That's tact. You got it, brother. Tact.
You need to have that as a leader.
Yep.
Because if he would have done it a different way and went in there and flipped the fuck out on him and told him, "You're losing your freak because you're being a fucking asshole," what do you think Captain Sobel would have done? He would have went back to that Easy Company.
Taking it all out on them.
Terrorized them.
Yeah,
and he would have lost their combat effectiveness.
Yep.
So it was done perfectly.
Yeah. Plus he was on the eve of, like, you know, the biggest military action to date.
Yeah.
It's like you don't want to be non-effective at that point. Like, it's a critical time.
That's how you need to be as a leader. You need to use your brain and not your brawn.
Yep. Yep. So.
And you definitely have more brain than brawn.
Yeah, I'd say that's probably a fair assessment. Thanks, George.
And truth be told,
a little out of shape right now.
Truth be told, that's something I need to work on too. If I was to pick a negative quality trait with me, my negative quality trait is fuck the shit o'clock.
Fuck the shit o'clock.
What do I mean by that? I mean when shit gets tough, I'm more of the fuck it, let it burn.
The shutdown, yeah.
Let it burn. Shut it down.
Okay.
I go nuclear option. If I had to pick a trait, that's mine. Oh, okay. Nobody wants to work? Nobody wants to do shit? Cool. Watch this.
Yeah. And you just let it burn. Yeah.
And we all know, I mean, there's memes all over Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff of, what is it? You know, hold my beer.
The house is on fire and the little girl is just looking away from it.
Yeah. Hold my beer. Yeah. You know what I mean? Isn't that the joke?
Yeah.
Because in the joke of the hold my beer memes is, oh, you did it that bad? Watch this. I'm going to do it worse. You know what I mean? That, I'd have to say, is my negative quality where I go into shutdown mode. I go into shutdown mode. I say, fuck this shit o'clock. I'm all done. And I let it all burn.
Hmm.
That's my negative trait if I had one.
We're all working on these things.
Yeah, well, everybody's got their thing. You just need to recognize your faults.
Yep.
Recognizing your faults will make you a better leader. Yep. Ken, you got shit to do. I got shit to do. Let's shut this shit down.
Yeah, we did pretty good here. We did about an hour long episode.
Yep.
Hey, and we didn't have a topic.
Correct.
Look at us.
Mm-hmm. But,
pat myself on the back.
For the Freemates' podcast, I'm Right Worship Brother George Mudger signing off.
And I'm Worship Brother Ken signing off.
Remember, everybody.
Ken.
Get your vitamin D.
Get your vitamin D.
Summer's
coming.
Shut it down. Have a good night, everyone.
Enjoy, my friends. Thank you for listening.
So do you call it Sunny D Light?
I do. Damn you.